Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. This week, it's New York Governor Andrew Cuomo. Welcome back, Governor.
Pleasure to be with you.
Pleasure to be with you. A pleasure to have you. Is it really a pleasure? I mean, what are you really thinking?
What am I really thinking? Dr. Envy. Dr. Envy. You know, I have a sister who's a doctor.
Yes.
She's the favorite.
I know. I remember talking to your father about her, as well as you. Now, what about your brother? Is there anchor envy?
There's a paycheck anchor envy, that I can tell you. He's doing a great job. I wish my father could, I wish my father could have seen Chris really come into his own, because he has. I mean, I hate to say it, but he's so damn good at what he does, and he's so smart. And, you know, you can see, Alan, all of the training he had, right? He was at the kitchen table all his life with the back and forth with my father and myself. And so he's doing a great job, and I really wish my father could see him. He'd be so proud.
Well, maybe he is. Maybe he is.
Yeah.
Okay, so Governor, you know, from a very interesting topic to a topic that may turn some people off, and that is the budget. You know, the budget, those guys are going to do the budget again. We don't know what's in it. We don't want to know what's in it. Yet it is the guidepost for everything that goes on in government.
Yes. And the budget this year is going to be different, Alan, because we've done a lot of good work legislatively, especially on social policy already, Reproductive Health Act, Child Victims Act, the Voting Reforms, Dream Act. We'll do criminal justice reform, rent reform. But this budget is really going to be about the numbers. And in many ways, it's the most challenging budget that we have faced, because the budget is ultimately about the economic trajectory of the state. And we have real economic issues. What they did to us in Washington with the tax reform and SALT, if we're not careful and we don't get this repealed, it could change the economic trajectory of this state. We've already seen over $2 billion in lost revenue. So this budget really is going to be a challenge on the numbers, and we have to be smart. You know, they often accuse Democrats of showing love by giving money, right? The Italian grandmother gives food as a proxy for love. Democrats like to show attention by more money, more money, more money. And we don't have more money this year. And it would be fiscally irresponsible, I believe, if we're not cautious on what's going to happen with this economy. So the challenge really is going to be on the numbers. And on time is important, but
don't
being
they have
right
to give back
is
their,
more important.
I'm sorry, Governor, don't they have to give back their pay raise if it's not on time? Isn't that part of the deal?
They don't. None of us get the annual adjustment, the executive or the legislative. But that's... what's more important is that the budget is right. You know, Doctor, we have never had to come back and do a mid-year correction. And that's really the budget success that we've had. People focus on the timing. No, focus on the number. We never came back and did a mid-year correction, and I don't want to start.
I'm sorry for interrupting, but okay. So assuming that is the case, obviously you and Tom DiNapoli are on the same page here, the comptroller and the governor are on the same page about what has to be done in order to not demand that you come back and fix things up later. And what is that?
We have to be conservative on the revenue forecasts. at the point now where we set the revenue forecast, right? Budgeting for a state is a little different than budgeting for yourself because you normally know what the income is and you budget just expenses. We have both sides of the equation. We have to budget expenses, but also project what the income is. And the income has been dropping. I believe it's primarily because of SALT and tax reform, but the income is dropping. The controller's estimate of revenue is actually below my estimate. My guess is the legislative estimates, when they come in, will be higher than my estimate of revenue. So that's the first piece to reconcile, is what revenue projection do you take? And I believe the controller is going to be the lowest of all the estimates.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about the internecine political warfare that's going on. Now, we know that you had some explosive words for the Senate Democrats and for the loss of the Amazon deal. But there are two different segments of the the state Senate Democrats. There are the guys who you helped elect. I know you went and campaigned for them, and they were in the outlying areas, you know, Westchester, Long Island. They weren't in the city. And if you lost those, the Democrats would lose the Senate. So there seems to be a little bit of a war going on that I'm hearing about, which is that these marginal Democrats are afraid that the Assembly Democrats and the people who are the old boys and girls club in the Senate will now turn around and try to spend all the money they can, where the Long Island guys and the Westchester guys are saying, no, don't do that. Is there anything to that?
Well, welcome to New York politics. There was a Senate minority leader, Democrat, who will go nameless, but once said to me, actually was talking to my father, and I was just hanging around, he said, you know, it's very hard for the Democrats to ever hold the Senate because you have New York City politics and you have suburban upstate politics.
Interesting.
And they're enemies of each other, or they're at odds. I don't believe that to be true, but you do have different regional politics. And the challenge for the Democratic Senate is to be responsive to all, which you can be. As a statewide elected official, that's what I deal with every day, right? Making Buffalo work and the North Country work and Long Island work and New York City work. But there are regional differences in politics. There's no doubt about that. But that is also the art form of being in the majority. And, yeah, you will have ideological differences. You have a whole spectrum of Democrats, right? You see it nationwide. It's also true in this state. And you do have different needs in different regions. I'm going out to Buffalo today. You know, what they need in Buffalo is much different than what they need in New York City.
Yeah. But is there a war going on between the left-wing Democrats and the more moderate Democrats in the burbs?
No, I think what you see is they've been in the minority and they've been doing politics. They're now in the majority and they're governing. Those are very different things. And this is a transition that they have to go through. And I think it's a learning process and feeling their way. But there will always be variations within a Democratic conference, whatever that Democratic conference is, the way there are variations in the Republican conference, by the way. We saw very big differences between more conservative upstate Republicans and more moderate Long Island Republicans, right? We've lived with that for years. And you now have that analog on the Democratic side.
Yeah. But come on now. You're going to be absolutely... Yeah. But you know what it means. But there was respectfully, you know what it means. But you and I both know that the Long Island Democrats, for example, were furious about the loss of the Amazon jobs, right? Yes or no?
Everybody was furious about the loss of the
Amazon. Not everybody. So
everybody should have been furious about the loss of 25,000 jobs, the largest number of jobs the state.
But the Long Island Republic, but the Long Island Republicans and the Westchester, the Long Island Democrats and the Westchester Democrats, they were at odds with the Senate Democrats, who basically, according at least to you last time we spoke, screwed up the deal.
Yeah, look, I think with Amazon, and I say what I think, as you know, and people like it, people don't like it. Amazon was a tremendous loss. And I don't believe it was just the suburban Democrats who feel that way. I believe it's, look, New York City, it was 75% of the people said it was a tremendous loss.
Yes,
in polls. So, yeah, everybody felt that way. It was a tremendous loss, because it was.
I want to move to the MTA. You and Mayor de Blasio have gotten together, for those of us who drive into New York from time to time, below 60th or so, you're going to have to basically be easy passed, and it's going to cost you a lot of money to go and do that. Why'd you do that?
Because congestion is a problem in Manhattan. The environment is decaying around us, and because we need to finance a mass transit system. And the best way to finance it, rather than raising tolls on mass transit riders, I believe, is to toll cars coming into the Central Business District. The congestion in Manhattan is indescribable, Doctor.
Yes, it's true.
Buses move at 4 miles an hour, you know. You can probably walk faster if you had the stamina almost anywhere in Midtown Manhattan. So the congestion pricing says toll cars coming into the Central Business District. You can do it electronically. You can have variable tolls, incentivize people to drive in off hours. So it gives you much more flexibility, and it says we have to move out of vehicles, save the planet, reduce congestion, get onto mass transit, and here's the funding so we can actually have a mass transit system that people are willing to get on.
How is that mass transit thing going? You know, you've gotten some blame for the subways. You've gotten some credit for the Second Avenue subway, for example, but you've gotten some blame also, and there's been some question as to who's responsible, you or de Blasio. In the meantime, the subways are a mess.
Subways are a mess. It's been a governmental failure. It was designed almost as a failure. Governor Rockefeller did many great things, but they designed the MTA in a way that nobody had direct control, because nobody wanted control, because nobody wanted to be responsible whether or not the trains ran on time. They didn't want to be responsible for fare increases. So they set up this Byzantine board of 17 people, and nobody knows who's responsible for what. We then didn't invest in the system because we're short-sighted, and we don't pay for maintenance, and we don't pay for upgrades. And now we have 40-year-old subway cars and 100-year-old electric switches. And every time it rains, the system ponds, forms puddles, and there are electrical short circuits. And now we have to go back and establish accountability and a management system that works, and B, invest and fix the system the way you should have been investing for all these years.
Literally, okay, so let's go
30 years of decline.
So let's go to A. What do you want to do to make it better? You want, when it came down to education in New York, we said, okay, the mayor should be responsible. Should you be responsible and held responsible and forget about the MTA and appoint one administrator and that's it, you'll be responsible?
I think in an ideal world, Doctor, yes. And I believe in accountability. And I have never shied away from taking responsibility as long as I have the authority. If I mess up the New Tappan Zee Bridge, it was me. If I mess up the Kosciusko Bridge, it's me. If I mess up Albany Airport reconstruction, it's me.
So that's a yes, right? Do away with the MTA and Andrew Cuomo will be in charge.
Yeah, if the legislature would do that. The legislature now, talk about this, the dynamics. We have suburban members. It's the Long Island Railroad. It's Metro North, which is the Hudson Valley, Westchester. You then have New York City. They want to make sure everyone is represented. And that's the dynamic that we're dealing with now.
Well, can you win that fight?
I don't know because there is, with valid reason, they want to make sure that everybody has a voice at the table because it's a regional transit system. And that's how you wind up where we are with so many voices. It has to be better than it is now. And part of setting the tolls, and I said I will not support a toll increase unless there's a better management system. So it has to be better than it is now.
Right. Listen, I know you well enough to know that if you want something, really, really want it, this is the doctor speaking, if you really want it, you're going to get it.
I think that is, I wish that were true. I wish it were true. Look, I wanted a smaller nose. Did it happen?
All right. Speaking of going from one thing to another, you saw that Jumaane Williams, who ran against your intended and who successful Kathy Hochul as lieutenant governor, won in a special election for public advocate this week. Are there any hard feelings from the old days?
Oh, no. I don't really know Mr. Williams, but there are no hard feelings at all.
Because, as you know, that's a job that often leads to being the mayor of New York.
Has in the past.
Yeah. So you don't have anything good or particularly good about him to say or anything particularly bad about him to say now.
That's exactly right.
Okay. So what about this? I hate to ask you this because it's complicated, but the Public Authorities Control Board, the state Senate Republicans want to boost business this week by changing to a single member's veto power on the Public Authorities Control Board, which looms so large in the Amazon deal, of course. Do you agree with their ideas?
The Public Authorities Control Board, and there's something called CPRB, which require approval for the state to do basic projects. In the past, it has been used as a pocket veto. In this case, it was used to stop the Amazon deal, and nobody even knows what PACB stands for.
Right.
The legislature will say, well, that's our prerogative. Nobody has a prerogative to operate in secret with no transparency and stop major projects with a pocket veto. And that's true on both the PACB and the CPRB. I think there should be more transparency. You want to stop a project, you should stand up, say who you are, why you want to stop it, and if you stop it, there should be accountability. Not that the legislature can appoint a particular member to carry out a particular agenda. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the Republican proposal was, but I don't believe you should have that much power as a clandestine pocket veto. And you can appoint a member of the legislature who has a particular interest, right?
Sure. And we just saw that happen, didn't we?
Exactly.
We just saw it happen. You weren't pleased about it, Michael Gianaris. I had a letter from one of the members of the Senate majority now, the Democrats, who said all Cuomo had to do was say, okay, this guy won't suit, and we'll send somebody else up there. My response was, why should he do that? You knew what he was going to do. What do you make of that?
Well, it was an untruth. A, what that member was saying is this was just a political manipulation. That's all this was. We were playing politics with Amazon. We recommend Generis. The governor then says no to Generis. Generis looks like he accomplished his politics. It was all a manipulation. God forbid this state government falls to that level. Second, there was no replacement offered who had a different position, right? The Senate never said, okay, here's our second suggestion, and that person will support it. To this day, the Senate has never said they will support it. They sent up a second name, Senator Leroy Comrie, for the position, even though I never rejected the first selection. They set up a second person, Senator Comrie. He has never said whether he supports Amazon or not. And nobody's even asked the question, frankly, in our press corps. Or if they have, they took silence as acceptance. So it's just not true, Doctor.
Talk to me about the red flag gun control bill. You went up and talked with Speaker Pelosi. It's unlikely that such a law will prevail based on Republicans and the Second Amendment. Isn't that right?
You know, I've worked on the gun issue since I was in the federal government with President Clinton as HUD secretary. We passed the most sweeping gun agreement, and then it was undone by the Bush election. But the red flag bill is just common sense. And even gun owners will say, yes, if you're mentally ill, you shouldn't have a gun. If you have a criminal record, you shouldn't have a gun.
And what's the definition on that? Does anybody who has ever seen an analyst have to worry that they'll never be allowed to own a gun?
No. You have, if a school teacher or family member primarily believe you are in extreme emotional distress and you can hurt yourself or others, they have the right to go to a judge. The judge then reviews the matter and can ask for an evaluation. So you have your right, but your right's intact. But if you're mentally ill and you can hurt yourself or others, then for your own well-being as well as others, someone should step in and help you. I mean, it's just common sense. Look, we in this society have decided that we can involuntarily institutionalize a person if they're in extreme danger to themselves or others. So it's just common sense. People who have a mental health issue that makes them incapable of handling a firearm should be helped.
How come, Gov? We're out of time. Can I take another 4 or 5 minutes with you?
Please.
Do you mind? Okay. There's a ban on stretch limousines that followed. You had a ban. You wanted the ban, but now you've dropped it from the budget. How come?
I want a ban on unsafe stretch limousines.
Right.
So there's a discussion and a healthy, positive one. What is a safe versus an unsafe stretch limousine? The stretch limousines are an after manufacturer process. Now, there is a federal certification on stretch limousines, which will preempt any state action. But we're not looking to ban all stretch limousines. It's those stretch limousines that may be dangerous because of how the work was actually done. You know, basically what you're doing is you're cutting a car in half and you're just adding 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 feet to it in the middle. It's not an easy manufacturing process, but there is a federal certification process, and that should govern and would govern.
Our guest has been New York Governor Andrew Cuomo. Governor, thanks as always for joining us.
Thanks, Doc.